Shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You're tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today we're going to be talking about dysfunctional families. And I have to let you know how I came about wanting to do this show. I took my three grandchildren on an outing. And we're at what's called Turtle Bay, which is a really cool place here in Northern California in Redding. And we were looking all around at all the exhibits and things like that. And we go walking across this wooden bridge to go to the other side of the Turtle Bay Park. And my four-year-old grandson goes over to the edge and he whips it out and he pees over the edge of the, the edge of the bridge. And that wasn't just the funniest part. I mean, he's only four. He's a farm boy, too, so he's learned to do that all over the farm. But the funny part was my 15-year-old teenage granddaughter who went, "Oh, my God, we are the most dysfunctional family. Oh, Charm, why do you have to do that? That's terrible." And then she goes, "Oh, why can't we just be normal?" Her reaction was the funniest part. And I did say, "Trenton, there are bathrooms here." And he looked at me like, "What? What's the problem?" But Allison was having an absolute cow. It was hysterical. And I looked at her and I said, "Honey, all families are dysfunctional. I don't think I've ever seen one that isn't dysfunctional, ours included." And we were just laughing. And she did start smiling. But it was an absolutely hysterical moment that I will never forget. And it got me thinking that so many people have dysfunctional families, and almost everyone thinks their family is dysfunctional in some way. So what I wanted to talk to you about was basic everyday average families and their dysfunction and how to deal with that some, and how to know if your family is so dysfunctional that it really needs help. Or by the end of the show, I want to talk to you about what makes a healthy family. And if you don't have some of the characteristics that make a healthy family, it's not too late to start. You can implement them into your family, which really helps. So last week, the show that I did was on surviving mentally ill parents. If you listen to that show on my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, you can hear what happens in some really dysfunctional families when there's severe mental illness that happens and the challenges that face kids and family members with that. So in this show, I'm not talking about that severe of dysfunction. In my 30 plus years in private practice as a psychologist and having worked for Children's Protective Services doing sexual abuse investigation before I went into private practice, I've seen a lot of dysfunctional families, and I've heard a lot of trauma from people from their families of origin. So there is trauma out there, you guys, and most people have some from their families, because one of the natures, something that's very common in every family, is that there's some kind of imperfection. I have yet to see a family that's perfect, that everyone was happy and everyone, you know, went along just in bliss. There's always something that happens or some challenge or trauma or difficulty, and that's normal. Nobody told us when we came into this life that it would be easy. In fact, it's not supposed to be easy. We're supposed to be faced with challenges that make us grow, and dysfunctional families definitely make you grow. But the other reason I wanted to do this at this time, and we just finished Thanksgiving a couple days ago, and we're going into Christmas, it is a very challenging time for people, because they're getting together with families. And if your family's extremely toxic, that's hard for you. If your family's just mildly dysfunctional, then you can leave your family dinner or your family get together feeling less than or challenged. And it's good to know why you're challenged and what the dysfunction is, and have some coping skills for not buying into it or taking it too seriously. So let's talk about some of the ways that families are dysfunctional. One of the biggest things I see is a lot of guilt, shame, and blame. And one of my podcasts is entitled That Guilt, Shame, and Blame. There's a lot of guilt for how you thought things should have been or things that you should have done or didn't do. There's a lot of shame because people feel like they're the only ones who have an alcoholic in the family or the dysfunction that was created or the how they didn't feel loved or they were abandoned. And so there's shame in that, and they don't want others to know. And then there's blame. And the blame sounds like, if only you loved me more, you wouldn't have been like that. And so the guilt, shame, and blame can be a very big thing to carry for your dysfunctional family. The guilt, shame, and blame can leave you feeling inadequate, which is the I'm not good enough feeling. And when we feel not good enough, we can carry that into other areas of our life, career, relationships, how we parent our own children now. And that inadequacy can make you do things that are an attempt to be protective of self, but actually can make you look more insecure or can harm those around you. So when we feel not good enough, we automatically fear that we're going to be rejected. And when we're rejected, we're worried we're going to be abandoned. If you don't like me or you don't love me, you're going to stop being with me. You're going to abandon me and leave me. So the guilt, shame, and blame in dysfunctional families leaves people with a persistent fear of abandonment. And it can be subtle and quiet and not something you can quite put your finger on or put in conscious thought. But me saying it out loud right now, hold that and see, do you often worry people are going to leave you? And what does that do to you? The other thing in dysfunctional families is people often don't have boundaries. They say things that they shouldn't necessarily say. They give advice when they shouldn't, when they should keep their mouth shut. Sometimes they show up when they're not welcome, or they don't call and ask first, or things like that. One example that I give too when I see clients with from really dysfunctional families, like for example, someone who has a borderline personality disordered parent. And that's a whole nother subject. But you can look up borderline personality disorder. It's a very difficult personality to live with. But when they have a personality disordered parent, one of the things I tell them is, look, if you live far enough away from that parent so they can't just drop in all the time, you create a boundary that they might not be able to create for themselves. So if you live 5 or 6 or 7 hours away, they can't just show up. They can, but it's more unlikely that they'll do that. And so you can create boundaries on your own when they can't follow boundaries. So dysfunctional boundaries and not following boundaries or having good boundaries or blowing through any boundaries that are set is one of the things I see in dysfunctional families a lot. Another thing is the constant need for reassurance and support and validation that you're okay. And now we're getting back to the I'm not good enough. So when you feel not good enough, you're constantly wanting validation that you're not going to be left or abandoned and that you're okay, that you're worth loving. That is the other big underlying thing that dysfunctional families leave you with, is I'm not worth loving. Now look, project that forward. How does that affect you in choosing relationships, in parenting your own children, and what and a neediness that you have from other people to make you feel worthy? Dysfunctional families can leave you with a ton of anxiety, a lot of emotional instability, and the other big thing that's indicative of a dysfunctional family is people have trust issues. I don't trust you'll show up, or you'll follow through, or you'll keep loving me, or you'll do what you said you were going to do, or you'll follow the boundaries I set. The trust issues are huge. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about some of the behaviors that we see from dysfunctional families. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist, and his CD, Smoky Mountain Dreams. This is the CD he did with Stacy Nicol Miller, who is a classical cellist from the Knoxville Symphony. This song is called Burning the Sage for the Stars. Thank you, Randy, for letting us use your Native American flute music on this show. It is stunningly beautiful and so relaxing. You can check out Randy's music at randymcginnis.com and look at all six of his CDs. They're all different and they're all incredibly beautiful. Okay, we're talking about dysfunctional families. And I gave you some of the traits and characteristics of a dysfunctional family. But let's talk about some more specific behaviors that you might see within a dysfunctional family. Now, again, I often talk about things being on a spectrum. So I think every family has some dysfunction somewhere because nobody's perfect. Hate to break that to you, but no family is perfect. So we go from hardly any dysfunction at all. You have a basically healthy family and good family traits that are positive and supportive, all the way down to the severely dysfunctional family where there's extensive abuse and neglect and mental illness and severe substance abuse and some real heavy-duty dysfunction almost at a criminal level. So look at that spectrum. And we're not talking about that severely abusive section, although some of these things will apply to that. I'm talking about more of the average everyday family that has some dysfunction that is irritating or annoying or challenging or hurtful to people on kind of an everyday basis. Because, again, every family has some dysfunction in it somewhere. And that's normal. That's to be expected. And when you stop to think our family's dysfunctional, okay, that's not the end of the world, because it's part of what the challenges are to learn how to do it differently. So some of the behaviors that I see in dysfunctional families, the one I see most often is addiction, alcohol abuse, prescription drug abuse, and then extensive drug abuse, of course. But even that mild kind of addiction sort of thing, you know, the mom or dad copes with too much alcohol. When they're stressed, it gets even worse. Got to be careful at Thanksgiving because Uncle so-and-so always gets drunk at the table, or you can count on one of the cousins showing up stoned, or something like that. That's that kind of addiction issue that makes everybody uncomfortable and worried and results in DUIs and things like that. So addiction is something that we see often in dysfunctional families. Another thing is perfectionism. And those are super high expectations that you are pulling off the perfect wardrobe, or you dressed right for Thanksgiving, or you're making enough money, or your job is okay, or you got a degree that's acceptable to the family. But that perfectionism that you need to rise to some standard that makes you part of that family and okay. There's some level often of abuse and neglect. And I don't necessarily mean that really criminal kind, the really far end of the spectrum kind, but that subtle kind of you can't measure up, you don't live up, and you get put down a lot, and it's emotionally abusive. Or that neglect where your needs aren't being met. And in dysfunctional families, the boundaries are hard between what the dysfunctional people need and what the people who are taking care of the dysfunctional people need. So it creates a lot of neglect. In dysfunctional families, there's a lot of fear. Things are sporadic and unpredictable. And there's a lot of fear and worry that things are going to fall apart more so than they already have. So you're kind of holding your breath a lot in a dysfunctional family. There's a lot of love withdrawal. And that goes back to the perfectionism or high expectations. If you don't do what I say or you don't meet my expectations, I'm going to give you the silent treatment or pull away or not talk to you. And I'm going to do love withdrawal, which means you don't meet my expectation and I'm going to make you feel like I don't love you anymore. There's often boundary issues. Telling you what to do or asking you questions that you don't want to answer or judging how much money you make or how you're dressed or your weight or anything like that. The boundary issue is I'm going to tell you what I think because I'm your fill in the blank. I'm your mother. I'm your father. I'm your aunt so-and-so. I'm going to tell you what I think and I'm going to blurt it out or say it to you in front of the whole rest of the family and embarrass you. Those are boundary issues. There's often a lack of intimacy. I'm not going to be warm or caring or accepting of you. I'm going to hold you at arm's length and not let you feel accepted or included or loved. Often poor communication. There's kind of, in dysfunctional families, there's often kind of an unwritten rule that it isn't safe to talk or to feel anything or to trust. So you're supposed to suck it up, shut up, not talk about it, pretend like you don't see it, hold your tongue. And those are often unwritten rules in dysfunctional families. If you violate those rules and talk about, say, the addiction issues or talk about Uncle So-and-so who's in jail or the DUI that your cousin got or something like that, you are violating the family rule of silence and pretend it doesn't happen. And that's often extremely hard to do. And everybody talks about silently behind that person's back, but now not in the open and certainly not in a productive way that is helpful or kind. If you're recognizing your family and you're going, oh, she's talking about my family, only hugely so in my family, you're not alone. Okay, there are a whole lot of people that have to steel themselves, take a deep breath, go into Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas or whatever, and suck it up and try to manage for the night until they can escape and leave. That is not unusual. Okay? So if you feel like you're alone or you've got the most dysfunctional family in the world, you probably don't. All right, I want to paint you a picture that is an important way to understand how dysfunctional families work. If we look at a grid and we say you can either be super disconnected or all the way to the other side of that spectrum, very enmeshed, which is way too close and way too clingy and way too much no boundaries. So from chaotic, from disconnected all the way to enmeshed is one part of the spectrum. And if we go the other way on the grid, we go from super rigid and rules that are unbendable and very high perfectionism, all the way to very chaotic. Excuse me. So, if you are chaotically disconnected in your family, that's not a very healthy place to be. I'm sorry. I'm still in COVID recovery. I was really sick for 3.5 weeks, and I heard the cough last forever. So, if you're very chaotically disconnected, then that's not healthy. If you're super rigidly connected, that's not healthy.
Do we need to take a break?
No, I think I'm okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you to my producer who helped me cough for a minute, not do it in your ear. Okay, so if we go from chaotically disconnected all the way to rigidly connected, that's not healthy, either one of those. What we're looking for in a healthy family is to be flexibly connected, not disconnected, okay? We want to be connected with others, but we want to be flexible. And there's degrees of flexibility that are still healthy. But chaotically disconnected and rigidly disconnected are not healthy. All right, let's go to the other end where we are way too connected, way too enmeshed is the word we use in psychology. So if you are chaotically enmeshed with your family, where everything's sporadic and chaotic and you can't count on anything, there's no boundaries, and it's very all over the place, chaotically enmeshed is not healthy. And rigidly enmeshed, where there's really black and white rules, and if you violate it, you're in trouble, and there's perfectionism and super high expectations, and you're supposed to be super close, and you're not supposed to have any boundaries, and you're very, very enmeshed, that rigidly enmeshed is not healthy either. So we're looking for a connection with family that's healthy, not too much, not so little that there's no intimacy or connection, not chaotic and not rigid. We want it to be flexible. And degrees of flexibility are okay, but we want it to be connected and flexible. That's what we're going for. So stop and look at your family for a minute. Are you chaotic or are you rigid? Are you disconnected and nobody's really involved with anybody else, or you're really unsafe with each other, so you avoid each other and you only see each other if you absolutely have to? That's disconnected. Or are you super enmeshed where there's no boundaries and everybody's in each other's business and everybody knows everything about each other and you're in trouble if you don't tell everybody everything because that enmeshment is expected? And is that enmeshment chaotic and all over the place? Or is that enmeshment very rigid and very black and white and very perfectionistic? Those extremes are the unhealthy places where dysfunctional families lie. So you need to take a look at your family and ask, where is your family? Are we chaotic? Are we rigid? Are we connected? Are we enmeshed? And that's a really good starting point, because when you start to lay out what does a healthy family do, we're looking for how can you be loving and kind and still flexible and still connected with each other, but not so much so that there aren't any boundaries or everybody's violating each other's rules or space. So the dysfunctional family is very prevalent. I guess that's the best word. I'm going to say normal, but prevalent is a better word. And there's degrees in all of these things. Like when we look at addiction or abuse or neglect or love withdrawal, there's degrees. Is it huge and hurtful and damaging? Or is it just kind of mild and pervasive and happens all the time and you're kind of expecting it? All of those things are within the realm of what dysfunctional families do and how they exist. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I want to start to tell you what a healthy family looks like. And then by the last section of the show, I want to give you some coping mechanisms to deal with your dysfunctional family this holiday season. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Fabulous fall specials going on now at High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane. Also in Roseville and Petaluma. High Noble Safe Company has fireproof and waterproof safes. Protect your guns, cash, and valuables, heirlooms, and collectibles, and important documents. With delivery, moving, and repair service available in Redding, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about dysfunctional families. So if there's dysfunctional families, somewhere in the universe there must be healthy families, right? Okay. So what we want to work toward is having healthy families so that we can create fun and connection and heartfelt times and healthy children who go on to create healthy relationships of their own and raise healthy children. So we want to pass on the healthy stuff, not just the dysfunctional stuff. One of the things that denotes a healthy family, more than anything that I can think of that I've seen over the years in my practice, is family traditions. And those traditions aren't just the big, huge ones like Christmas or Thanksgiving or holidays. But think in terms of tradition as daily, weekly, and special days, and shared history and stories. So let's look at daily traditions. That might be how you pack your kids' lunch and put a note in there, or how you wake everybody up if there's something special that you do. But traditions are things, good traditions, that make people smile, makes them feel loved. They are intimate gestures that make them feel important. Might be as simple as everybody eats dinner together most nights, because that is a tradition that creates bonding and intimacy and connection. When everybody goes their separate way or grabs some leftovers or sits in front of the TV and, you know, it's chaotic. That's a more chaotic environment. You sit down at the table, there's a boundary of love and respect and caring. And what I like to see families do is no phones at the table so they can actually interact and not be somewhere else while they're there. And they start to have a sense of, we come together at night and we talk about our day. One thing I like to assign families that don't know how to have a family dinner every night is they go around the table and they say the best thing and the worst thing that happened to them today. And it's kind of funny and it's kind of cute. And it's also an opportunity to offer support when something bad has happened or rejoice when something good has happened. Think in terms of weekly traditions. Do you have a family dinner once a week with your whole family? Do you have a family game night once a week? Does your family tend to do, like, on Friday nights we go out to pizza? Those are things that kids remember as tradition and ritual and consistency. So think of what weekly traditions you have. It might be as simple as everybody gets out and mows the lawn together. I'm not having a judgment of what it needs to be. It's just something that's kind of regular in your family. Then there are special day traditions, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays. How do you do Christmas? How do you do a birthday? What's expected in your family? Is it chaotic and there's no set way that your family does traditions? Or is it kind of predictable and recurrent and has fond memories for you? So look back at your childhood and say, what were the good traditions in our family, the ones that I smile about and love? And those are the things you want to recreate in your current life. Remember, when there are good traditions, there is shared history and shared stories. One of the things they say about siblings is the only person who shares your history, both good and bad, is your sibling or your siblings. And those are shared stories of bad times and good times and laughing. And that history makes us who we are and is very important, which is one of the reasons when you lose a sibling, you lose sometimes a piece of your history, and it's very grief-striking. Healthy families have quality time together, whether it's they've got a movie night or they can all sit around eating popcorn and watching a movie or mowing the lawn together, or Saturday mornings is when we clean the house. That quality time together creates good memories and good bonding. Healthy families have boundaries, and the boundaries provide some predictability. Does your parent respect you as an adult? Do you respect your children and help them make decisions and stay out when you need to stay out or interject advice or discipline or responsibility where you need to? Boundaries are about knowing when to be quiet and when to step in. And it isn't always easy. Everybody screws up boundaries sometimes. But if you're in doubt, like say your parent wants, you feel like your parent needs some advice, you might ask permission. Can I tell you what I think about this? Or your child has a problem, you might say, I'd like to give you my opinion. Are you okay with that? That is a permission to step into a boundary where you might not be wanted. In families that are chaotic, people just blurt out their opinions and their advice, and they do it often in a condemning sort of way that makes people feel judged and unloved. In a healthy family, we request permission to enter, whether it's knocking at someone's door or phoning and saying, I'm on my way over, or may I come over, or let's get together. Boundaries denote, I respect your space, your autonomy, your decisions, and who you are as a person. In healthy families, there's loyalty and commitment. They support each other. I love it how my two girls are so, they're really good sisters together. They can have a fight, but if somebody else comes in and attacks one of them, they're like tigers. They will support each other and have family loyalty for each other above and beyond all external forces. But it doesn't mean they can't disagree or have a fight or, you know, hurt each other's feelings. But the other thing they have a commitment to is working it through all the time, no matter what. So loyalty and commitment is really important in families because it makes us feel like we love each other and that we have a safe place to fall back on. Healthy families support each other. They show up when they're needed, whether it's a crisis or a death or an illness. They show up. They don't run away. They run to. In that support, they offer encouragement. You're going through a hard time. They might call and just say, how you doing? I know you're struggling at work. Or I know that you've been having a tough time with whatever. So they offer encouragement and they show up. They honor each other's gifts and talents without jealousy. And remember, there's a difference between envy and jealousy. You might envy your sibling's talent, but jealousy is, I don't want you to have it, I want it. You might say, I think it's so incredible how you have that artistic talent, or you can sing, or you're so good at what you do with work. I envy that, I think it's so neat, and I admire that in you. That's very different than feeling like, Mom always liked you best, or you have more talent in the family, or you got the beauty, and you're gorgeous, and I'm not. You know, there's a difference between jealousy and putting each other down for your special talents and just really honoring each other and being supportive of that. In families, healthy families, there's often a shared sense of humor. It's not unusual for families to joke around the same way or have their own inside jokes. All of these are what happens when there's intimacy and caring and shared history. Those inside jokes and that shared sense of humor can be a sign of really good connection in your family. Now, there are families that go too far with their sense of humor and have really warped senses of humor, which can begin to get very dysfunctional. So if you have a warped sense of humor, you may want to take a look at that. But I'm just talking about how it's cool when families share that inside humor. One of the things healthy families have is the ability to forgive, to make amends, to forgive each other, to own it when you've made a mistake or you've hurt someone's feelings or you've crossed a boundary or you didn't show up or you blew it and made a mistake or you expected something that was unreasonable or you gossiped when you shouldn't have or something like that. It does not mean you're perfect. In a healthy family, there's an ability to make amends and say, I screwed up, please forgive me. And there's an ability for forgiveness. And that forgiveness sounds like, you are my family. We can work this out no matter what, because I'm not throwing you away. You're important to me. We will work this out. Doesn't mean it's easy. In a healthy family, you might have an altercation that's big enough that you need help to solve. That's okay. But in a healthy family, you are unwilling to step away from another family member. Now, having a really super toxic family and needing to keep toxic people out of your life might be very different and a subject of a whole nother show. I'm talking about in basically decent families where everybody's doing the best they can, but nobody's perfect. And in their minor family dysfunctions, they hurt each other's feelings or violate a boundary. And the ability to own what you did, to make amends, and to ask for forgiveness or offer forgiveness is a sign of a healthy family. Doesn't mean it's always easy or getting there is simple and it just happens naturally. You might need to work it, need some help. But one of the signs of a dysfunctional family is they can't own their mistakes. They blame it on everybody else. Go back to that guilt, shame, and blame thing. If you can't own your mistake and it automatically becomes the other person's fault and you can't own your part to it, then you're not being a very developed person, let alone a really developed family member. So that idea that I can take a good hard look at myself and see if I've made a mistake and then own it and make amends and work it through until we can get back to ground zero again or loving each other again is really part of a good, healthy, connected family. If you think your family's never going to hurt each other's feelings or make a mistake or do something that, I don't know, seems like a big boundary buster or something like that, you're wrong. Because even healthy families, even healthy relationships have arguments or hurt each other's feelings or violate a boundary. The issue is not, have I done something wrong? The issue is, what do you do when you've done something wrong? Can you own it? Can you go to the other person and say, I've screwed up and I need to make amends? And that's a sign of a healthy family. Dysfunctional families don't own their stuff. They blame. Healthy families are able to look in the mirror and say, what did I do wrong here? And that's important, really important. Okay, so we've really kind of laid out some basic ground rules for what a dysfunctional family looks like. You're listening to what makes a healthy family. And we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to give you some coping mechanisms for if you have a dysfunctional family and how you're going to survive the holidays. We'll be back in a minute.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Make this New Year's Eve a night to remember at the Reading Garden of Lights. Featuring two stages of live music, food trucks and bars throughout the gardens provided by Mosaic, all surrounded by a magnificent holiday light show. Tickets available at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about dysfunctional families. And we're actually also talking about healthy families. And we're talking about how to cope with your dysfunctional family. So, I'm smiling when I say that. And the reason I'm smiling is because everyone has a dysfunctional family in some way. I've never seen a perfect family yet. All right, let's talk about coping skills. Especially around the holidays, because we often feel pushed together with our family, and often pushed together with the whole family, which is often where the problems are. And I gotta share something with you. In my practice, I hear people start calling me in December, freaking out, or December 15th, freaking out that they're gonna have to get together with the whole family, and they can't stand fill in the blank. They have a couple people or more people or the whole family that they just can't stand. And they are dreading going to the family gathering. And some people are actually depressed and having super anxiety attacks. And they don't want to go, but they have to go because if they don't go, they're in huge trouble and it makes everything worse. And so they're freaking out. And often what I say to them is, look, breathe, follow some of these coping skills, and now I'm going to be able to refer them to the show, which will be helpful. But I tell them, don't overreact with it, because once it's behind you and you have again survived for another year, then you have a choice. You can either come into therapy and we can truly work the underlying issues for you. We can't fix your family, but we can give you more strength and more coping skills so you don't have to go through this every year. Or you might be through with it and have accepted it and have said, okay, I'm good for another year. So I often don't just rush people in for a crisis session to try and help them cope with it, because it's often unnecessary. They just need to get through the difficult time. So what are some of the coping skills you can have? Let's say that you're dreading getting together with your family, your whole family. For starters, I want people to stop and say, what am I worried about? And the whole secret about what we fear or what we are anxious about or we worry about is to answer yourself. And when the first thing you say is, Uncle so-and-so is going to be there, and he molested me as a kid, and I hate seeing him, and I can't stand it even more when they sit him next to me at the table. Stop and look at that. Is that what you fear? Or is it something as simple as everybody starts fighting, or everybody starts bossing each other around, or three or four people get drunk, and then it gets really bad? Ask what your fear is. And it's most likely something that has happened in the past that you didn't have any control over. Now, some of it is about childhood abuse. That's a different story than I'm afraid Uncle So-and-so is going to get drunk again. Or Aunt So-and-so. Isn't always the male, you guys. So I want you to ask yourself, what am I worried about? And it will be based on things that happened before in family gatherings or something that happened when you were a child that you had no control of. But ask yourself, and then answer yourself. Even write it down. These are the things that worry me when I go to a family dinner. All right. Once you've held those things and you ask yourself what you're afraid of, what you're nervous about happening again, ask yourself the question, if that happens, how do I feel? What do I usually do? How can I deal with that? And challenge yourself to look at it more objectively and to hold it in your hands and to establish a few things that you'll do. For example, everybody starts picking on you because you changed jobs, so you don't have a job anymore, or you feel like they're ragging you because you didn't finish college, or, I don't know, pick something that you are the black sheep for that you didn't do right. One of the things you can do is you can practice silence. Say nothing. You don't have to stare at your plate and look super uncomfortable. You can just not engage with the conversation. The other thing is it's really fun, it's really good to have a subject changer. The joke is always about, how about those 49ers? You know, bringing up some sports thing. But have a subject changer that's nice or happy or good. Like you can say, hey, did I tell you guys I'm going to go skiing next week? Or did I tell you that I'm looking at going camping this summer for a week? Something that is fun or good or that you can get general consensus with the family that that is not a bad thing. Or did I tell you what happened to so-and-so? They got a promotion or I don't know. Pick something that you have readily available for a subject changer that will steer the conversation in something happier and more healthy. The other thing is to have an old story about the family that's a fun one that makes everybody laugh. In our family, sometimes someone will bring up, do you remember when the dog stole the turkey off the Thanksgiving table and ran around the house with it while everybody chased him to try and get it back from him? And then mom washed it off and put it back on the platter. And the whole family starts laughing and it's, you know, it's like chaotic family dysfunction, but we all start laughing about it. So have a family memory that when things are awkward or turning that tense direction, you can throw out that family memory and get everybody talking about something good. Those are conversation points that you've already decided in your head would be really good ones. And when in doubt, practice silence. And when that doesn't work, excuse yourself and go to the bathroom and take a minute to breathe and calm down and say, don't engage. I can't fix this. I hate it when they do that, but now is not the time to fix this. I'm going to practice silence. I'm going to remember my subject changer and I'm just not going to engage. And hopefully when you've gone off to the bathroom and everybody hasn't gossiped about you while you're gone, then you can come back and things will be calmer. So you're going to have a few of these coping mechanisms that let you relax. It's also okay to take a time out. If things are getting super tense and you're winding up and you're feeling anxious and you're wishing you weren't there and wish that they would just serve dessert so you could go home. It's okay to take a break. Take a walk outside in the cool air. Somebody follows you and say, hey, I just came out to get away from the noise for a minute and just breathe. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I just needed a break for a minute. But have some ways to cope with the sensory overload, the boundary violations, the pushing on you. And the biggest thing is to remind yourself not to engage. The family dinner, the family gathering for the holidays is not the place for you to begin to fix your family dysfunction. So pushing, 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 getting super anxious, getting an overload, and then blurting out to everybody how our family is so dysfunctional and you're an alcoholic and you're horrible and you made me mad and that wasn't fair what you said, this is not the time to do that. For starters, it won't fix anybody, if you think it will. It'll just make you look like a bad person, and it will backfire on you. It is far better to practice silence and walk away, or to go to the bathroom, or walk outside for a little bit, or to take a break. It's far better to do that than to stomp off in a huff or try to change everybody and fix everything. You can do that later when it's time to talk about the family dysfunction. So listen to yourself before you go. What makes you nervous? What makes you anxious? What are the parts about your family gatherings that are difficult for you? One of the things that I can tell you that has been kind of interesting is there's a new game out in the market called Vertellus, and it's just about the size of a deck of cards, so it's easy to carry with you if you're going to the airport or something. Vertellus is a game where you go around the table and you pick a card. And the cards help you share stories. Like it might say, tell us about your best day ever. Might say something more intimate like, if you had a do-over in your life, what would it be? But there's really cool cards that let you share. And it's very intimate building and helps you feel connected to your family around the table. And it's fun. And there's even one that says, look at the person on your right and tell something you really admire about them. I love that. And it's interesting to know what the person on your left knows about you. So the game Vertellus is kind of cool and a new way for families to connect and get to know each other and talk in a fun, kind of intimate way. So it isn't all about good stuff, and it isn't so intimate that it's super embarrassing, but it's really just a really cool game. And that's something you could bring to your next family gathering and say, hey, let's try this. And once everybody will go, oh, no, we don't want to do that. But once you get it started, it's fun, and people have liked it. So the important thing is remember that your family gatherings that feel really dysfunctional and overwhelming and create anxiety for you do not last forever. One night or one weekend or making it through that holiday is only a blip in your life. And hopefully there'll come a time when you don't do it anymore because people are gone that you'll miss it and you'll miss some of the good memories. So even if you've got some family dysfunction, know how normal that is. And it's part of life. And we just do the best we can with it by setting boundaries, by listening, by loving everybody and including their foibles and their difficulties and their personality challenges, just trying to find something good about them and love them. If they are super obnoxious and kind of abusive, if they've got substance abuse problems, go back to how do I set boundaries without being super negative and nasty, but set some boundaries that protect me and make it so I can survive that night. So boundaries are super important, but you've got to know what you're nervous about. You can't just say, I hate my family gatherings. Why? If you were sitting in my office and you say, my family is so dysfunctional, I'd say, tell me how. Why do you call it dysfunctional? And what do they do that's dysfunctional? And how does that make you feel? And the reason I'm asking you is not to do that shrink thing. How do you feel about that? No, it's because I want you to stop and take a deep look at yourself and know what makes you tick. Because in that awareness comes your best coping for dealing with a dysfunctional family. So if you're sad about your family because it's dysfunctional, join the human race because everybody's family is dysfunctional some. All right. I hope I've given you some good insight into dysfunction. I hope I've given you some good insight into traditions that healthy families have. So if you don't have those in your family, start to build them now. It is never too late to build healthy traits and traditions in your family. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. You can hear I've got about 120 shows on my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay Therapy in a Nutshell podcast. And through this radio show and through my podcast, I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.